Blog Talk Radio.
Time for Sports Card Live. With Sports Card Radio's Brian Tedders, Colin Tedders. MojoBreak.com's Dan Anderson. And your host, Doug Caskey. Kick it.
Pack Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to another episode of Sports Card Live. I'm joined with Dan and Ryan. What's up, fellas?
What up?
Yeah, how you guys doing today?
Chilling.
Nice. What about you, Ryan? What's new with you, man?
I'm just hanging out in the hood, brand new office, and that's about it.
Nice. Well, we got another action-packed show today. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to be joined later by Ben from TopProspectAlert.com. We're going to talk about, you know, prospects, early spring training forecasts, you know, guys that you should invest in the card market. And then later on, we're going to be joined by Dan Laurel from SportsCardMagazine.net. Going to talk about his site and how it is running a blog as well. And then start it off, we're going to get right into some National Treasures Baseball. We busted three cases on MojoBreak.com last week. We're going to give you our thoughts, as well as we did our fair amount of 2012 Supreme. And then we're going to preview some Heritage. Ryan's got the checklist up on SportsCardRadio.com, and we're going to go over some SPs and some early previews because the product comes out tomorrow. So looking forward to that as well. So, man. And then Vegas is right around the corner, and we just talked about it off air. We're all excited. What are you looking forward to most, Ryan, from the industry summit in Las Vegas?
Oh, man. Probably just getting out of town and hanging out and maybe learning some things about the sports card industry down in Vegas. And that's about it. I'm gonna take it easy while I'm there. I'm not going to try to conquer the world. So
nice.
Going to have fun, yeah.
For sure. What about you, Dan?
Looking forward to the convention, a little sit down, get a little face-to-face with the manufacturers and, you know, meet a bunch of cool people, a lot of people who are in the hobby. Also, I've been to Vegas probably 15 times in my life. I've never been to the Palms. So it's going to be cool to chill out there and see what's going down, you know, get away from wherever we went last year, that awesome, super classy casino that we went to, like Captain Bill's or Wild Bill's or Wild Wild West or whatever it was called. But, you know,
yeah,
maybe class it up a little bit.
Well, we did meet that lady, that blackjack dealer that used to dance for like Sinatra and Billy Martin and Billy Martin's a former Yankee coach, Dean Martin. You know, all those guys. So that was pretty cool. I guess that's all I got.
I don't know, man. Billy Martin used to party a little bit. Maybe she did hang out with him.
Well, I'm looking forward to the craps table so I can do one of these.
Showtime!
Yeah. Probably not, though, because Vegas is not called winning. So that's why they call it gambling. But we'll see.
That's true. I'm not going to do a lot of gambling. No gambling for me, man. I'm out of the gambling scene.
Yeah, just kick back, have a couple man sodas, and, you know, hopefully hang out with a lot of you guys, the ones that are going. I know a lot of people have said that they're going and love to chill with everybody out there and, you know, talk some sports cards and whatever we may talk about after a few brewskis out there. That should be fun. So we can get right into, you know, who needs a license? Who needs an MLB license? Nobody's talking about it right now. National Treasures Baseball came out. Is there anybody mentioning licensing out there?
No, I think no pun intended, but I think they hit a home run for sure. That's a killer product, man. You know, the thing that really did it for me was the old school like patches and jerseys, man. Like just getting a glimpse of those and there's a couple downfalls, a couple downers in the set, but man, old school cut autos, a book in every pack. Just classy, wow. Classy product for sure.
Yeah, I mean, one thing we've noticed with a lot of their releases is everybody, you know, Signature Series, Limited, Prime Cuts, the first thing everybody mentions is, it's a nice product, but there's no license, so I don't want it. And scoping through forums, you know, lately, there hasn't been any talk of that. So that's a good sign for sure. Very good sign for Panini.
It's a bomb diggity.
Boxes. What'd you guys get in the cases that you opened?
Well, we got some good stuff. We got a DiMaggio booklet, number to 10. It was a big old bat piece, you know, game used bat. We got a Gehrig, big old jersey, number to 10 book card. We got Wade Boggs auto. We got Cal Ripken auto. Will Clark, which is near and dear to Dan's heart, the Nischler. What else did we get, Dan? That's just off the top of the dome.
Well, I can remember. That Ripken was a book,
right?
But it was a redemption. So I think it was like namesakes. I think it's like numbered to 10 or 25 or something. But I mean, there was overall some pretty good stuff. Little bit of there was like a Jeter book we pulled that was pretty nice. I know Jeter still sells pretty well.
Yeah, there was a good mix. There was a lot of rookies, there was legends, there was vets. It definitely, I mean, the first product that I can remember that has Bryce Harper in it for Panini. There's Mike Trout autos in it, so there's pretty much anybody that you could want in a set is in there. They got bat knobs. We didn't get any bat knobs. They're 101, but those are sweet looking cards. There's Shoeless Joe Jackson in there. We got some kind of legend card with Shoeless Joe Jackson. We got one with DiMaggio, Gehrig, and somebody else. It was like a three-way league leaders bat three-way. So it's just, you know, it's one of those things that you open up, and it's just like you don't know what you're going to get. Every card's exciting, and you can really see it transcending the hobby right now. Everybody, if you look on Blowout Cards Forum, I mean, you go under baseball breaks, I would say 75% right now is all NT. That's what people are breaking.
Wow.
So, I mean, I would say the biggest downfall, Dan talked about downfalls, probably they inserted, and I'm not sure the reasoning behind it, but they literally took a Signature Series card. It's from the Signature Series set, the manufactured patch, and it's signed on the white part of the patch, and they inserted those in, and it literally still says Panini Signature Series. So it was kind of confusing because all the cards in the set are all white, you know, white, nice background and stuff. And then you can see that card. It sticks out like a sore thumb. And there's, you know, it's mostly kind of low-level prospect auto. So it was kind of confusing on why that was in the set.
I think they maybe miscalculated. And they were trying to add like an extra auto into it or something. I don't know because it is absolutely the same set as Signature Series. It's the same card.
Yeah, we talked about it off air. I almost think that they were going through the print run and they needed X amount of cards and they were like 200 short or whatever amount. You know, I don't do math very well, but you know, they say, you know, this is short. We got to insert in something. Well, we already got this design. Let's just print them out. Put it in there just to make sure that the cases have all the cards that are promised. That was my thought on that card.
Yeah, that could have been, you know, that could have been what happened.
That and they did muddy down the book market. That would be the second.
I was gonna say the same thing. It's books that are numbered at 99 with just a giant piece of single color jersey. I think we pulled a Evan Longoria that was just one piece of white jersey, just a big piece of white jersey numbered at 99. Kind of devalues the whole idea of getting a book card, but you know, I mean, it's still a book card, still cool, still exciting.
Yeah, and then the one side is just a picture of the guy, so there's no memorabilia on the one side, and then the other side is just one big piece of memorabilia, so it could be achieved in just a regular card rather than a book card. But they wanted to promise a book card in every box, and then every case generally has one autographed book card, so. You know, it's still cool, and I'm just critiquing just because we have to critique. So it's definitely not a reason to not buy the set. I think it's a very strong buy right now, and boxes are going up. I mean, Blowout has, I think, $450 a box right now.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it started at $330 when it on release day, so it's jumped up $120 a box in literally less than a week.
Wow.
So
it sold out completely. I mean, every distributor is scrambling to get it. Probably could find some stuff on B2B, but I mean, Panini's completely sold out. Distributors are completely sold out. So it's drying up. So I mean, if you can get it at a decent price, $450 right now may be a decent price. It may go up a little bit. I mean, it's not out of the realm to see it like at $5 to $5.50 a box soon. If you know, people keep on buying it, so
definitely. And you know, there's a lot of value in it. You're going to get 8 hits. I think on average you're getting like 4 to 5 autos and lots of old school relics. Even though it'd be like a single colored relic of, you know, like Bedrosian or some of those guys, you know, it's still a collectible set, and you're still going to get good value in every box. I think it goes back to that number that you said. You get 40 to 50% out of most of your boxes, you're doing well.
I mean, I think even at like $400 a box, I think you still have a pretty good chance of getting about 50% return on your investment. I say on the selling your cards individually, secondhand market, you can probably get at least $200 back, and that's still good. I mean, if you get in at like $330, I mean, you're killing it right now.
Yeah, and you get that, you know, Garrig cut book or whatever. I mean, it's potentially a $2,000-$3,000 card. So it's a high risk, high reward. But you're, even if you, you know, totally suck at a box, you're getting some good value out of it.
Yeah, so I haven't seen a lot of really bad boxes.
Yeah, me neither.
So
me neither. Yeah, it's exciting, and they did well with how they had the photos of the guys. They made sure the hat logo was like off of the photo. And it was mostly close-ups. But the art was, you know, the photos were done really well. I mean, it looks like a $400 set when you're opening the cards, and that's the name of the game. If you're going to put out a product at that high of a price point, it's got to look like that. I mean, Five Star kind of failed in that regard with the chipping and just the lack of insert sets and stuff like that. So Panini hit a home run with this product. And they debuted it at a perfect – they debuted it at a perfect time because – you know, we're still working on flagship series one for baseball. You know, Heritage is right around the corner. So there's no high-end hit sets. And that's, you know, a lot of the people in this hobby are going after those high-end hits. And so it was just right when spring training starts, they released this high-end set. I think it was just impeccable timing on their part. So,
yeah.
But moving on into Supreme. Supreme Football released last week. If you're not familiar with the set, it's a 4-card pack, one hit. So it's a high risk on that one too. But, you know, I was actually not expecting much from the set, and the case we got, it delivered pretty well. I mean, the downfall is there's sticker autos. I mean, I don't think there's any on-card autos. It's all sticker autos. But it was nice. It was good value in the cases we opened and in the mixers we did as well. What are your thoughts, Dan, on the 2012 Top Supreme Football?
Like you said, it's a high risk, high reward. I mean, there's going to be a couple. I mean, it's rough going into a local card shop and spending $100 and buying one pack that's going to have one hit. And I mean, we opened up some boxes that the hit was an auto of T.Y. Hilton, or an auto of Michael Agnew, or Kendall Wright, and or guys like that. And you're just like, man, that's rough for $100. Card design was solid. They didn't really change too much up. It's kind of looked like that the last couple of years. It's had that look, and it's solid. I mean, our case was really solid. I mean, we got a luck, and I think we got an RG3 as well.
Yeah, well, we got a luck by itself, and then we got a three-way RG3
yeah,
luck and
right.
Auto.
Yeah.
So
I mean, when you get a good box, man, I mean, you're gonna get a decent return on your investment, but there is that chance of getting a $5 to $10 hit out of a $100 box, which is hard to swallow sometimes. So
you mean
that,
people aren't collecting Michael Agnew? That's news to me,
dude. I'm gonna laugh my ass off if that guy comes out and he's like top ranked tight end next year, and he like catches. He basically puts up ungodly numbers. Has like 15 touchdowns. People are scrambling. They're like, God, I'm just looking for the 2012 set so I can just get an Agnew. That's all I want is an Agnew. I'm tired of getting all these Russell Wilsons, and I'm tired of getting all this all these Justin Blackmans. I want Agnew. I want to get egged.
Look at Kaepernick last year. I mean, people didn't say, "Oh, bummer, you got Kaepernick," but it wasn't like, "Oh man, I was going for Cam Newton, and I got Kaepernick." Well, look who sells better than Cam Newton right now, Kaepernick. So.
Well, but you weren't bummed because Kaepernick's a quarterback,
right?
You're never bummed if you get like a rookie auto and it's a quarterback. I mean,
what about
you get like
Chandler Parnish.
Well, I thought you were gonna say Case Keenum,
well,
but. Yeah, but I mean, you know, still, you never know those lower round or those higher round picks. I mean, you never know, those guys could pan out. I always say this, but look at Tom Brady. You know, he did pretty good.
Who does he play for again? I'm joking.
That one team.
The one team that beat the Rams in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. Whatever. I'm a Ravens fan.
Speaking of the Ravens, did you see that contract for Flacco? Holy crap.
It's not worth it. It's what happens when you win a Super Bowl.
That's long money right there.
That's championship money right there. That's championship money.
But do you think he deserves he's the highest paid player in the NFL right now?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's pretty weak.
Yeah, I mean, his stats say that he probably shouldn't be, but you know, I mean, he won a championship at the right time, contract year, wins a championship. If you're the Ravens, are you gonna let your franchise quarterback who just won a championship for you test the free agent market? That's not gonna do much for people buying season tickets. The following year, so
you got to
sign them. I mean,
it's funny because
what would his contract have been if he didn't win the Super Bowl?
Hot dogs.
That's a good question.
Half?
Probably.
Maybe more than that. Maybe more than half, but I bet it would have been like $9 million a year instead of whatever he got, $20 million a year.
$20 million, yeah.
Oh, yeah, then I guess it would be half about. Yeah, I don't think he wouldn't have got $100 million, I guarantee you that.
Well, and then you look at it and you're like, well, what if the Niners blew out the Ravens, just blew them out, they lost by 4 or 5 touchdowns?
Yes.
People would probably be like, let Flacco go. Get him out of town.
Yeah. Right.
Send him somewhere else. But, I mean, yeah, what are you going to do? You win a championship, you get that long money.
Well, it was funny. His interview, he's like, he had to say like 3 different times that it wasn't about the money. He said, I'm just glad I'm getting recognized for all my hard work, and that's what it's all about is being recognized. But it's really not about the money. I'm like, well, then just play for – $20 million for 6 years, then not twenty million a year.
I don't think the NFL Players Association would allow that. You're setting an example. I mean, those agents are going to be like, you're not taking any less. You're getting the most money you can, because I mean that just devalues his position.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's the same thing with baseball. I mean, a lot of those guys. I mean, of course they want to stay in their hometown and play their whole career for one team, but if they're worth more money, they have to take the money.
Yeah, definitely. Well, speaking of money, I wanted to get into this little segment that Ryan was going to go into. We're going to talk about making money in the sports card industry. So not like $120 million like Joe Flacco, but how could one sustain his hobby and maybe make a little bit of money? So wanted to start with Ryan, see what some of your ideas are for whether it be buying and selling cards or boxes or things like that. What do you think a hobbyist out there can do to make some extra cash and, you know, buy more cards?
I think if I were to do it, I would have to figure out how much time I had, legitimately how much time I had. You could probably do something on no budget, but if you have some money to spend, you could probably do a little more. I guess some of the things that I would do is I would probably set up a supply website where you're selling like Ultra Pro, NXT or whatever, and those kind of things, where you're just selling top loaders. You're not getting into the game of box breaks or, you know, full boxes, cases, none of that. You're not doing any of that. All you're doing is servicing the supply game, the cardboard box game. And there's some numbers that you'd have to work out and shipping and all this stuff that you have to figure out. But that would be one thing that I would – that I think there's actually kind of a need for that nobody really thinks of doing. They always kind of – and a lot of your prices are fixed, whereas like you talk about National Treasures box goes up, you know, $100 in a week. It could very well have gone down $100 in the same week. And you know, you might have got screwed on – or people who bought that or had a hobby shop or something and had some cases lying around, all of a sudden they're, you know – they're having a hard time moving product when it goes down. So, but with supplies, it's not like the price of soft sleeves jumps around, you know, at all really, or top loaders and stuff. So that would probably be one thing, is a niche website like that where you're selling supplies. You could even drop ship. Like if you didn't want to be a pack and ship guy and all you wanted to do is just kind of promote and market a website, you could do drop shipping. There's a wholesale distributor, Sports Images. They'll be in Vegas and they'll probably even have a booth down there. They do drop shipping. Like you can just register with them and then just literally they'll send you a little, I think they probably even have tools where they send you some things and you can just market it like on a website or Twitter or social media, mark every single product they have and just they'll ship it all for you. All you have to do is sell it and make sure that you make some money on it. So you can run a real like cheap, low margin business and you would never have to ship anything out. All you're doing is essentially drop shipping. So, I mean, there's an idea right there.
That's a great idea because the most sites out there, like Blowout, DA, I mean, they sell supplies, but it's, like, way down on the bottom. And I don't think – I'd be interested to see what percentage of their sales are in supplies, and it's probably less than 1%. I mean, it's, like, literally – it's an afterthought. No one really purchases. I think mostly supplies are bought at local card stores, but those – there's areas that don't have local card stores, so that's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah, I think there's a I don't think you can kill it, but I think there's some money there.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's definitely people on eBay who basically just run supplies on eBay, and they obviously buy through like distributors and stuff like that. The margin's almost non-existent. If you can basically deal with having such a small margin now. After eBay fees and stuff like that, your margin's even smaller. If you have a site and you get away from the eBay fees and stuff like that, that would definitely generate a larger margin, and you'd be able to make and sustain a decent living on it for sure.
Well, it's probably a higher margin than most hobby boxes, though, I would assume. You'd probably be in the 20 to 30 realm, I would think. I mean, I know a local card store, they're like 50 margin on them, so you can't sell it at that price, but if you were,
You'd have to compete with the guys who are selling it for, like, pennies over cost on eBay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know there's those guys out there. And it's the same thing with boxes as well. I mean, we saw that. People would literally sell boxes at, like, a couple dollars over their wholesale cost. You know, just waiting for that one product to take off. So they basically pre-order everything, and then you wait for, like, Tribute to basically come out, and you get into it at the right price, and then you basically make up the margin that you lost on previous products. You make it up on that one product. And that's the same game that distributors play, too.
Well, and what's good about, at least the distributors that me and Dan deal with, they've actually got hip to what, and they call them speculators. So they basically don't, if somebody just comes in and they're like, I want 20 cases of Tribute, but they haven't ordered anything else, they'll give them maybe one case. They won't give these guys 20 cases because it's like, hey, what have you done for me lately? They want them to order all the crap product. They want them to order, you know, stuff that doesn't sell like Cooperstown or, you know, maybe Rookies and Stars on the shelf. They don't want these guys that just speculate and pick up all the hot products. So if you're going to get into the box selling game, you got to be prepared to buy everything. And maybe that's what – you know, you're talking about these guys that are just, you know, they buy Bowman Chrome. If it doesn't take off, they're unloading it just so they can get in line and be priority on a distributor's list of getting those hot products.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah, any other ideas, Ryan, about that was a great idea. I didn't even think about supplies.
I've got a lot of good ideas. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could make money on the Internet. It all depends on what your angle is. Do you want to be a pack and shipper? Do you want to open products? Do you want to be an information source? Who do you want to advertise for? Do you want to, you know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of different angles. It all depends on how much time you have. A lot of things sound kind of easy, and it sounds easy to do some of these things in this industry, but it ends up being a lot of time and effort. Personally, I like timeless kind of ideas and I guess content and website ideas and stuff. And the good thing is if you get really good at something in sports cards, if you're successful at something in sports cards, then usually you can apply that and take that to some other kind of niche. It could be another collectibles niche. It could be something that else you're interested in. I would just advise that if anybody, they should just do something that they're passionate about and that they're really excited about. If you're not excited about creating a website where you're going to have a really dope displaying all the ultra pros and the book card holders and setting up a really nice website so that people, you know, have value and they don't run to the eBay sellers who are just blowing this stuff out. They'll come to your website because they love your website and they love your service. If you're not excited about that, then you need to figure something else out to do because you won't succeed. You really have to have a passion for whatever it is you're trying to do. You know, whether it's sports cards or whether it's anything in life, you really have to be totally committed to doing it. So I think that's rule number one, you got to be committed.
And that shows through. I mean, and I'm not patting my own horn, but just, you know, like people are that work the 9-to-5 or that hate their jobs. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that love their jobs. But, you know, people on the weekend are like, man, I got to go back to work on Monday. And for me, I'm like, I can't wait to get back to work. I mean, I just love doing it. So it has something to say about passion. If you're passionate about something, because if you're not, you're going to try to find ways to half-ass something, and then you're not going to make money. But I think passion is absolutely number one.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure.
So any get-rich schemes? Any Amway? Try Amway? Maybe that gets somebody rich?
See, maybe, you know, the thing is, there are things like that. But, you know, people like me and other people, there's no reason to say anything because if you say too much, then there'll be copycatters and people just looking to do the exact same thing that you're doing. So, I mean, I have a lot of ideas. So if people are in Vegas and they liquor me up a little bit, sometimes I'll get a little frisky with my ideas. I have a lot of ideas. But one of the things you do have to worry about, especially the internet space, is people just – if you have any remote success on the internet space, you will get copied. And, you know, people will do the exact same thing that you're doing. That's just the nature of the game. And that's the nature of anything. Look at iPhone, how popular iPhone was. And then everybody's got to make a smartphone. Everybody and their brother makes a smartphone and a tablet and all this stuff and a big screen TV and all this stuff. So it happens in all course of business. So you have to be – I try to always stay sticky and never and be interested in a lot of different things, have checks coming in from multiple locations. I always like to diversify. I call it diversification. You want to have checks coming in from multiple people so that you're not dependent on one advertiser or one customer or one whatever it is. You have checks coming in from multiple locations. So if one goes dry, you've got more money coming in from somewhere else, another website, another business, another whatever it is. So diversify, be passionate, and have fun. Those are probably would be my three quick tips on how to make money.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Passion's number one. And I've never seen anybody copying anything on the internet. I've never seen it before, personally.
Yeah, it doesn't happen that often.
So, well, that all sounds good. Well, we got our first guest. We're going to bring them on. We're going to talk some prospects here. We got Ben from Topps Prospect Alert. We're going to bring him on here in a second. We're going to talk about spring training, guys to invest in. So I'm looking forward to
bringing him on here. So bringing him on right now. Ben, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. What's up, guys?
Not much. How's everything?
Oh, not bad. Just sitting back waiting for the World Baseball Classic to get started and just enjoying spring training.
Nice. Well, tell us a little bit about your site to start off with, when you got started with it, what your goals are for the site.
I've been doing it since doing the topprospectalert.com since 2004. I've had a pretty good following over the years, launched the Twitter site at Minor League Blog back in 2010. We're up right around the 18,000 follower mark, I believe, maybe a little bit more, a little less.
Nice.
Done a offshoot, always been a baseball card guy, so started up a trading card blog, the Twitter handle, and I've been seeing some pretty good success with that in terms of growth here in the last 4 or 5 months, and just sitting back enjoying doing that and looking forward to getting things rolling here with the season.
Definitely. So going right into the season, who have you seen? I know we're still early on in spring training, but who has caught your eye so far in spring training as far as prospect-wise?
Well, I think the biggest guy right now is Nolan Arenado. He had really kind of fallen off the prospect map last year with a poor season in Double-A. By his standards, he'd been the top prospect in the Rockies organization entering the season and really didn't do a whole heck of a lot at the upper level. He's all of a sudden come on 4 home runs this spring, tied for the major league lead, and really opening eyes once again, and kind of putting himself in contention for that third base job out there in Colorado. And meanwhile, on the opposite end of the spectrum for the Rockies, Ryan Wheeler is a guy who's hit everywhere he's gone. I think he's hitting either at or under 100 right now, and really not doing too well. So it kind of looks like Nolan should come in there and take the opening day third baseman job if they want to give him a shot with it. So
nice. I was just going to say you just answered my question in that regard, and I mean they also got Rutledge, who obviously got called up last year.
Oh yeah,
so.
They kind of got a logjam going on right now, but the Rockies are in pretty good shape as it stands right now from a prospect standpoint.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that NL West is going to be real tough as these teams get bigger and better and some of these prospects start taking off. So the Rockies are going to be good competition this year. I mean, obviously you got the big money Dodgers and then, World Series champion Giants. So the West is going to be fun to watch. So any other guys out there? I mean, I know Anthony Rendon's been kind of tearing it up. I think he's hitting over like 400 so far, right?
Yeah, he's hitting 412, and the kids already got 5 extra base hits, 3 doubles, 2 homers, and he's driven in 7, and that's all within just the course of 17 at-bats. So he's finally healthy, which is a big thing for him. Injuries have been an issue. Even going back to Rice, had a leg ankle injury that that hurt him out there ahead of the draft, and he's kind of been injured since he's been a part of professional baseball. So it's nice to see him finally healthy, and we're only probably about 8 or 9 games into the spring for him, but so far so good. And if I would expect him probably a Triple-A start, but with an opportunity to soon be up to the majors if he stays healthy and continues to produce. So him and Harper could be one hell of a combination out there in that Nationals lineup.
And they still have Worth in right field as well, right? So they got.
Oh yeah.
They're going to be contenders again this year now that Strasburg has a full year, and they're not going to have a pitch count on them this year too. So that's going to be exciting to watch the Nationals, especially for the card industry with Harper. Which I think Harper. I mean, what are your thoughts on Harper? What did he end up like? Just under 270 last year. Are you thinking he's going to hit over 300 this year? What do you think of Harper's 2013?
Well, he's at 474 right now in the spring, and he doesn't
seem
to be fazed by anything. So, I think he just saw an appetizer for what the main course is going to be, and the appetizer was pretty good last year. So, assuming he stays healthy, there's no telling what he's able to accomplish. And I think Mike Trout won the battle last year, but I think he may end up winning the war before it's over with in terms of those two going head-to-head over the course of their career.
Definitely. So who do you think is going to make the biggest impact on the opening day rosters? I mean, I know like there's guys like Machado that's going to make the team and things like that. Which rookie do you think this year is going to have the biggest impact, maybe a candidate for rookie of the year?
Well, I think in the AL, I think Aaron Hicks is going to end up being the center fielder out there in Minnesota. And He's a kid that's kind of been early. He was drafted back in 2008 and, you know, didn't really do a whole heck of a lot his first couple of years in terms of matching expectations people had for him. And yeah, he's had a good solid year in Double A last year. Really had the, I think he hit double the amount of home runs that he hit up until that point during the course of the year. And he's done real well in spring training so far this year. And, you know, with Ben Revere gone, there's really not a whole heck of a lot of competition, you know, long-term
in
the position. So I think they're, you know, I think they're committed to him. And I think he'll, you have a say in things before the year's over. And then in the NL, I think it's just a matter of time before Oscar Tavares gets up and is playing every day for the Cardinals. And you know, got to see him a number of times in the minors last year. And it reminds me of Vladimir Guerrero in terms of the type of hitter that he is. He's just able to hit anything anywhere and you know, be real, do a real good job while he's doing it. And you know, got 20 to 30 home run power potential, can hit for average, and you know, just a very, very complete player.
Yeah, we've seen his cards go, I mean, just base autos selling for over $100. So I mean, the card market is not asleep on him.
One of the tweets that you'll see on the trading card blog at some point here tonight, their base is up over 160 now. And
wow.
Yeah, it's just, it seems like every day it continues to rise. And, you know, I think there's a good reason for it. I mean, he's definitely one of the ones that can, you know, assuming he stays healthy and produces like he's capable of, you know, he's a guy that could be in the, you know, Trout ranges, you know, for this year's rookie class.
Wow. And what do you think of Dylan Bundy as far as, I haven't heard a whole lot of news on him. Is he going to make the roster this year as far as in the rotation?
Yeah, I'm kind of like you. Hadn't really heard a whole heck of a lot on him. I know he's only had a couple innings so far this spring, and you know, the fact that they brought him up last year at an accelerated pace and gave him a look in September, yeah, that bodes well. The fact that he can get called up at any time, I wouldn't be surprised if they ran him back down to Double A for, you know, 30 or 40 innings and you know, let him get some work there and see how you know, things played out. But yeah, he's definitely got the livest arm of you know, pretty much anybody that's on the pitching side of things in the AL East. And, you know, I think it's only a matter of time before he gets up and stays up. They just probably don't want to be in a Strasburg-type situation where we're worried about innings limits here you know, a few years down the road.
Now, was he a high school guy or was he out of college?
He's a high school kid.
Okay, so he's still kind of maturing because I think he was drafted, what, 2011, right? So it's only
yeah, he's in the 2011 draft. That was the year, I believe, both he's an Oklahoma City kid, I believe, and both him and Archie Bradley, who's a D-backs top prospect. They both came out of the same area out there. So it was a matter of who was going to get drafted higher. So.
Well, that kind of makes sense because both of their autos are just headshots, so it's probably from their college pictures or something. Because they're one of the few guys in that Bowman draft 2011 that are just headshots, which kind of confused me when I opened that product for the first time. So.
Oh yeah.
But both selling pretty well, and I think Bundy's up over 100 now too for a base auto. So he's, you know, doing well on the eBay market and, you know, forum sales and stuff like that. So.
Oh, absolutely. As I said, we've got him. He's top five. We actually have him as number two. Our prospect ranker, J.P. Schwartz, has him number two on our topprospectalert.com 150. So definitely expecting big things out of him this year.
Definitely. What do you think of a guy, the guy from the Cardinals, Shelby Miller, who did a kind of a relief stint last year? Do you think he's going to make the rotation this year? Is he going to be a reliever or is he going to be a starter?
Well, Shelby turned the corner about the midpoint of last year. He got a lot more mature. I actually had a chance to watch him pitch a good bit down here in Memphis in the second half. And, you know, the strikeout-to-walk ratio, I think, for his last 10 starts is something like 60 strikeouts to 4 walks, something in that general range. And, you know, he came up and did what he did in the majors in September. And, you know, I like the kid. I think he's you know, got a world of potential. You know, one of the things that was hampering him early on in his development was his maturity, and I think he's got a lot of those issues ironed out. And you know, I think he's got the inside track to the fifth starter job out there in St. Louis, and you know, I think he'll do pretty well with it. But
his talent level will get him to like an ace status, or do you think he's more like a number two, number three guy?
Yeah, I think he's got ace potential, and it's a matter of health, and it's a matter of how he goes about conducting himself in the big leagues. Obviously, it's a heck of a lot different than the minors, and when you have stuff, a lot of the things that separate you is from a mental standpoint, and if he can hold that together when he hits some adversity, which without a doubt he probably will. Definitely has that ace potential going forward, and the Cardinals are a great team to have an opportunity to be looking for an ace. So I think 2-3 years down the road, you could be seeing him at the head of that pitching staff.
Definitely. Now you guys have Profar number one on your rankings, and I think that's a lot of people agree with you there. Do you think he's gonna? He reached the majors last year. Is he gonna start and for Texas this year? Is he gonna get a full year? Or are they gonna start him in the minors? What do you think on Profar?
He's hitting 190 in spring right now, so
wow.
he's not necessarily bashing the door open to to tell them he wants to be the starter up there on opening day. I think he needs a little bit more seasoning. He has a really young kid. He's definitely got a ton of potential to him, but I think consistent at bats would be best for him, and an opportunity to get those whether it be in AAA or a little bit in AA again, and kind of take the Bryce Harper, Mike Trout path back up during the course of your first full major league season. I think that wouldn't hurt him any going forward.
Now, who do you think, out of all the teams out there, who do you think has the best farm system right now overall?
St. Louis is pretty loaded. I mean, they've top to bottom. You've got guys, at least eight deep in terms of guys that can be big-time major leaguers going forward. And, they've got some kids, that are continuing in the lower levels of the minors to impress people. Houston's really solid right now, as bad as their major league team may or may not be this year. They've basically raided every other organization. And, I'll give you an example here. On JP's rankings organizationally, he's got Robbie Grossman at number 20 in the Astros system, and he's a guy who's a top 10 guy in Pittsburgh. So, they're just the rich keep getting richer with every move that they make. They've got Carlos Correa, who's the number one overall pick a couple of years ago. I think this will be his first full season, and they expect some real good things about from him. They've got Lance McClure's Jr., who has an opportunity to be a pretty darn good pitcher, depending on what they do with him as a starter or reliever. And it's going to be a bright future ahead in Houston, and Seattle Mariners are also loaded.
Yeah, Holton and Walker and a couple other guys.
They've got, just to give you an idea from that pitching standpoint, you got Walker, Holton, and Paxton as your big three, and then the guy that ended up being the Southern League Pitcher of the Year last year was Brandon Maurer, you don't even hear of. And, he was the unknown fourth guy out of that rotation. But, they've got Zunino, who struggled a little bit this spring, finally getting things together. He hit a home run a couple days ago. You've got him in the mix. Nick Franklin, who's struggling a little bit right now. I think he's hitting somewhere around 170. But the three hits that he's had, one's been a home run, and the other two have been in doubles. And he's right on the brink, another guy that'll take some time to get going. But they've got a shortstop prospect, and Brad Miller is very good as a USA alum. Got Stefan Romero, who I think is going to be the guy that breaks out of that group of folks that you haven't heard of, and becomes one heck of a big leaguer. All the guy does is hit. He can hit for power, hit for average, and he had a tremendous – he's kind of accelerated through the system, topped out at AA last year, and he's well over 300 for a career batting average, and just a guy that's a gritty guy that likes to play the game. So got that, and you also have Stephen Pryor, who's a closer prospect, and Carter Capps, who we saw a little bit of last year. He's down there too, and I'm going 14, 15 deep in the system coming up with those names. So they're stacked.
And speaking of the Mariners, what do you think they do with Zunino's obviously a catcher. They got Montero. Are they going to do like a DH situation with one of those guys?
Yeah, I would imagine. Getting to see Zunino play in AA? I mean, he's kind of raw from a catching standpoint. And they had, forget the guy's name, is their roving catching instructor, but he was pretty much every homestand up in Jackson this past year when Zunino got up there. And I think Zunino will get some time down in AAA. With a strong spring, I would have said he'd had a shot at making it opening day, but he's at 231 right now and getting fooled a little bit. And so I think he'll get some time at AAA, but he's a kid that could come up and definitely be in the American League Rookie of the Year race once he gets up there, say May or June. And he's the best hitting catching prospect I've seen since Joe Mauer come up, at least in person. And
he's a Golden Spikes Award winner, which if you look back in the past of all the Golden Spike Award winners, they all pretty much have panned out with the exception of a few. You know, you got Posey and Bauer and, you know, Lincecum and guys like that that win the Golden Spikes, and they almost all of them seem to translate into Major League success or at least making rosters. So that's definitely a guy to, I think, to invest in. I mean, his prices are kind of high now, but if he breaks through, I mean, he's a guy that's going to tear up the card market because he's got power and he's a good hitter.
Oh, definitely, and you know he's one that you're talking about approaching Trout levels. You know, he's definitely a guy that could do that in rather soon order.
Definitely. Now, who do you think out of some of the top prospects that people have been naming for the last couple of years? Who do you think is underperforming? That's not performing to the level of a top prospect.
Well, Billy Hamilton's had the worst spring you could possibly imagine at this point. He's hitting 111 and. 2 for 18. He actually has one more stolen base than he does a hit, and you got to be able to get on base in order to steal. And it's amazing how fast the guy is. He's still got a little bit of work to do in terms of getting good jumps. He could be even better than he is on the bases. And the only problem is whether or not the stick will come along. And you had Cardinals had a kid named Essex Sneed back in the day that was lightning fast and stole 100 bases and could never get on base and never saw or heard anything from him aside from hearing that he's real fast. I think Hamilton did a great job last year hitting in the minors, but I don't think he's quite ready yet for the transition to the majors. But he'll probably run another 60 or 70 stolen bases in AAA probably in the first 3 months of the season. And, every day you're going to have Dusty Baker answering questions as to why he's not up on the roster, but I just don't think he's ready right now.
Yeah, anybody else that comes to mind? I mean, I know it's early on so far, but
I think injuries have taken taken a couple guys out. Reimer Liriano is a big-time prospect out in San Diego. He kind of was criticized a little bit last year for not having the year that some thought he might have. He's thrown around in the ProFAR conversation a couple of years ago in terms of kids who are coming up in low A and high A as to who could do something. And he picked it up last year and then towards the end of the season, and then now he's done for 2013 with Tommy John. And looking forward to seeing Martin Perez go out there in Texas and win that fifth starter's job. And he just broke the arm here recently, and so his plans are put on hold for the moment, but which is unfortunate to see because I think that kid has a pretty good shot at a good future. But another Ranger, Mike Olt's hitting 158 right now in the spring.
Wow.
And, that's not looking good at the moment. And, the real disappointment, and I got to give props to JP because let me see where exactly he had him on his Phillies list, but he just caught all sorts of heat. He had the guy at 17 on his Phillies top 20, and that's Darren Ruff. And he's hitting 130 right now and making all the people that sent JP tweets and emails saying what's the story with Darren Ruff making JP look pretty good here at the moment. So
yeah, we busted some elite and we got everybody was going after Ruff. I mean, his cards, that was his first auto, was a 2012 Elite Extra Edition, and I mean some of his base autos were selling for $60-70. So were thinking that this guy was the next big Phillies prospect. But
he had a monster Venezuela season. He hit 8 home runs in 18 or 20 games out there. So he's done great up until kind of hitting a wall here this spring.
Definitely. Well, and one of the last things I wanted to ask you, without giving away too much secrets of who you're buying these days, what in the card market, which guys are you kind of starting to collect now, guys that are relatively good price that you think are going to be big impacts later on?
I think Michael Wacha is going to impress a lot of people up in St. Louis, and I know his stuff's kind of boosted here in the last week or two, but it was going dirt cheap there for a good while. He's second in the majors right now in strikeouts, and he's got 11 of them in seven innings. He's a kid that had an ERA under one for the majority of the season in his first taste of the minors. He was a stud out there in Texas A&M, Texas Tech, one of those two in college. And he's a kid that's big league ready, and I'd be shocked if he doesn't make the club out of spring training. The kid's a stud. And
that's good to know, because I have a 101 Bowman's best Michael Wacha. So that's just...
Well, you're doing all right then with that one.
So that's good to know. I'm you know, I'm taking money sign. Now I'm going to hold on to him for a little while, but yeah, I heard he's a big boy too. I think he's like 6'5".
He's a huge kid, and he can gas. Speaking of kids that can bring gas, J.R. Graham got clocked on the Braves prospect. He got clocked on the stadium gun at 102. Scout said it was probably more like 99. But, you know, he's a kid that can bring heat, and he's opening some eyes down there in Atlanta this spring. I think Julio Teheran, his cards are kind of as low as they've ever been. I think he's got a shot to bounce back. He should make a rotation spot this year. And have a chance to do some stuff. Salvador Perez is probably going to be one of the best hitters in the AL this year. And I'm not
Royals,
sure still...
the Royals catcher, right?
Yeah, Royals catcher. I'm not sure how many at-bats he's had. I think he's not. I'm not sure if he's in Rookie of the Year eligibility or not. But either way, he's going to be a heck of a player. He's hitting 381 right now here in the spring. He was down in Venezuela and hit around 380 down there with a whole bunch of home runs. Matt Adams, I think, is going to have a bounce-back year. He should be able to get some consistent at-bats. So when he has a chance to get them, he may start in AAA, but has nothing left to prove there. All the kid does is hit. Trace Thompson, Clay Thompson's brother, the Golden State Warriors guy, his brother's in the White Sox organization, 24 home runs in 2011, 25 home runs in 2012. Hitting for average is an issue for him, but he's definitely got the power. And yeah, there's been plenty of big leaguers, you know, the last few years that have been, you know, 35 home run guy, 100 RBI guys that have hit, you know, 215, and he may end up being one of those, but definitely goes a long way when he makes contact with it. I think J.R. Murphy in the Yankees organization, depending on what the injury statuses are, you know, with their catchers over the course of the year, wouldn't be surprised if he gets to see some big league at-bats and you can pick up his Bowman Chrome stuff for $2 or $3, if not less, right now. And yeah, Colin Cowgill's got a shot at making the club out there in New York, and you know, his stuff's next to nothing, and that's certainly a great market to hit an opening day home run and all of a sudden have your stuff go bonkers. So he's one
former,
that may be a sleeper out there.
Former Diamondback, former Oakland Athletic, Colin Cowgill, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked actually. I've seen him a few games in Oakland, and he looked pretty good. Kind of under the radar guy. He's played on two small market teams, so to speak. So, you know, maybe does a little bit better out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, he's a kid that got injured. He was tearing it up back in the D-back system, you know, down in high A, and then got hurt. And I think he was hurt for a good while. And that kind of knocked the prospect status off of him. But, you know, he's persevered through that, been to a couple organizations. And he could be this year's Josh Reddick, to where, you know, it's a guy that's kind of been a toss away that all of a sudden comes in and gets an opportunity and runs with it.
Definitely. Well, and what are you collecting these days as far as sets? Are you like a Bowman Chrome kind of guy when, you know, the draft pick stuff, or do you go legends? I mean, what does your PC kind of consist of?
I get a little bit of everything. You know, it's I don't buy as much as I used to. Kind of able to stay close to the hobby, doing the trading card blog, Twitter site without having to necessarily break the bank as I once did. So, you know, that's been fun, but you know, I think there's a ton of nice products out there. That the stuff that National Treasures put out here, you know, just released to this past week. I mean, some of that stuff's just amazing that's coming out there, and you know, it's
definitely
it's interesting because you know, you hear the you know, hear all the stuff about being unlicensed and this and that, and you know, then you see some of the memorabilia pieces and the autographs, and I mean, it's as deep of a Hall of Fame game use set as I've ever seen. So it's been real cool to see a bunch of stuff of guys that you don't usually see stuff of.
Definitely, and that's actually exactly what we talked about at the beginning of the show, mentioning the unlicensed stuff. So it's like no one's even really mentioning that there's no license on it anymore, so which is a good thing for them and a good thing for the hobby for sure.
Oh, no question. And one guy I want to mention before I go is who I hadn't had a chance to talk about and who really doesn't have anything beyond Topps Heritage Minor League cards is Evan Gaddis out there in Atlanta. That's a kid that you know, may or may not make the opening day roster, but if he's not there opening day, he'll be there soon thereafter. And you know, he was well on his way to making the majors last year, at least in September, and they were on a road trip and reached up to take a bag out of the overhead compartment, and bus shifted, and the bag came down and jacked his arm up. So he was on the DL for about 3 months as a result of that. But he's picked up, had a monster winter, and he's hitting .444 right now so far in spring training with a home run or two. So he's definitely a guy to keep an eye on. And like I said, it's team set cards, and Topps Heritage Minors is the only thing he's got right now. So he would be a 2013 Bowman, which I'm assuming they're going to put him in the set at some point, either with the Bowman product or the Bowman Chrome product, who's going to be one of the fast ones out of the gate at that point.
Definitely. Well, that's, I'm going to keep an eye on him for sure. Well, we'd like to thank you, Ben, for your time. And the site is topprospectalert.com. And throw out your guys' Twitter handles. We'll make sure we retweet them as well. But what's the Twitter handle that they can follow you guys on?
Twitter handle for the Top Prospect Alert site is going to be at Minor League Blog. And then for the trading card folks, for the baseball, football, everything in the hobby, it's going to be at Trading Card Blog.
Awesome. Well, you've been a wealth of knowledge. I don't think we could have packed any more minor league prospects within this 20 to 30 minute segment. I mean, you've got me wanting to go buy some of these guys right now. So I might even be just jump on eBay while we're doing this show and pick up some of these prospects. So, you know, and that's what we're all about here. So we want to thank you again, Ben, for coming on, and we'll make sure everybody out there that we'll retweet to follow them and make sure you check out their site at topprospectalert.com.
Sounds good. Hey, appreciate you guys having me.
No problem. We'll have to do it again sometime, man.
Outstanding.
All right. Take care.
You too. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, all right.
Awesome.
Man, that was awesome, man. That was, what a wealth of knowledge there. I mean, I felt stupid compared to what he was, what was just coming out there. I mean, for you guys,
was,
like prospects out there, that was just an amazing little session there.
Yeah, that was good stuff. I'm surprised the Pirates weren't mentioned for having a really strong farm system with all the pitching wealth that they have
with
Garrett Cole and
Tan
and your boy Tan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we gave him enough time to mention all that stuff. I mean, we probably.
But, I mean, opened up my eyes to a lot of guys for sure. I'm gonna like you said, I'm gonna be jumping on the bay here soon and trying to pick up some stuff. You know, prospecting is something I know you do a lot more than I do, but it's definitely intriguing. It's definitely an intriguing way of collecting.
Yeah, and I love that the sets, I mean, it's not really high-priced boxes. You can get Chrome boxes for $70, $80. I mean, you get the guaranteed auto, and I think it's one of the better values out there if you hit a guy. And even if you get a guy that's crap now, you can wait on him. So there's still hope of this card being, you know, $50, $60 down the line. I mean, obviously, if you pull a Zunino or a Harper, you know immediately what the card's worth. But say you pull a guy like Andrew Haney, who was the number one pick for the Marlins, you know, right now it's a $5 card, but a year down the line, maybe he starts lighting it up, 20 wins or whatnot. You know, it's a $50 to $100 card. So with other sports like football, I mean, yeah, the rookies kind of pan them out right away. You know who's going to be the rookie, and you really can't. I mean, so in some instances, you can hold on to these guys, and they might pay off eventually, like maybe a Victor Cruz who got hurt or something. But for the most part, you know right away if you got something big or not. That's what I love about prospecting is, you can wait and, you know, go back to your PC later and say, oh, I didn't even know I had a Billy Hamilton Chrome from 2009, or I didn't even know I had this guy. And you hear about a guy on, like, websites like topprospectalert.com, and you see that he's ranked number one. You start going through your PC. I think I got that guy. You know, I do have him. Like, I have a Tawan Walker.
Yeah, it doesn't even need to be, it could be like base Chrome cards and stuff like that. Those worth a couple bucks. It doesn't need to be autos, but yeah, right. You go through a bunch of cards and you're like, man, I got like 7 or 8 of this guy's rookie card. This is awesome. And, it definitely makes it exciting, and it's a fun way to collect for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I remember before we get into our next segment, I remember when me and you kind of got back into the hobby. We went kind of heavy on 2010 Bowman, and then obviously everybody was going for the Strasburg rookie at that time, and then everybody was like, oh, Harper's going to be the number one pick. So we went back into our boxes and we got any USA Harpers. I think I had two USA Harpers. I think you might have had one, and it was like a $25 Chrome card at the time. I wish I wouldn't have sold it now, but it was like.
Yeah.
It was just digging through the PC again, finding, see if I got that. So it's definitely pretty cool. But before Danny comes on, I wanted to talk about Heritage. It's going to be released tomorrow. It's a different type of collectors collect Heritage. It's a set builder set, but there also is possibility of some big hits. Ryan, what do you think, or building the checklist on it so far, what do you think about Heritage 2013?
It's a big set. I mean, as always, it's like a big set. It's got 425 base cards. It's got some high number SP cards, 426 to number 500. It's got all the little action image variations, color variations, error short print cards. There's four different Washington Senators variations, including Bryce Harper. Red variation, blue variations, chrome parallels. I mean, that's before you even get to the autographs and some of the hit cards and insert sets. So it's a massive set, and old school people like it, or people like who collect sets and stuff probably like it. And, I think it's a good price. It's a mid-priced kind of product, usually around $60 to $65, if I'm not mistaken, for a full box. So it's not a huge risk. You can find it at Target and Walmart for $20 a blaster. And, packs for like $2.99 and jumbo rack packs for $4.99 or something. So it's an affordable set. It's kind of a small step up, I guess, from Series 1, maybe a tiny step up. I think most people who buy this stuff, they really like the sets and they really like the parallels and kind of putting together either some of the insert sets or the complete base set. So I think it's a good – it's always been a good product, not a product for everybody, but I think it has a place in the hobby.
Definitely, and I'm looking at some of these early eBay auctions on this stuff. There is people that are selling complete master sets, 575 cards, 1 through 500 plus SPs and inserts. So obviously, they haven't got the product yet, but they know they got so much that they're going to be able to build the whole set. I mean, they're going for $320 right now. So there's a few that have... Yeah, there's been a few that have sold for $319, $325. This is all – I hope for those guys' sake that there's not like a one really, really hard SP to get because, they've already got this money in hand on this stuff. I'm trying to see if I can find any early autographs on this or any, one card that's selling for a lot. I know the forums were kind of lit up about people kind of speculating and saying – I think there was a guy on Blowout that – somebody was selling like a Buster Posey and it's like card number 432 and he listed SP and it was up to like $25, but everybody was like, that's not an SP. This guy's like cheating these people because it's in set. And so there's a lot of that going on pre-release. I think on eBay is that all these people are putting SP next to the card and stuff, trying to get, top dollar for SPs that aren't SPs, what do you think about, have you been scouring eBay on some of this stuff?
That happens a lot with a lot of these sets that are mass produced, mass bought. You see that with the Series 1 where people put SP cards and they're not SP. They end up, getting to a rather high price, I guess, and maybe it doesn't get paid for. So I think it just happens all the time. It could be price manipulation, too. It could be somebody that has a bunch of cases coming. They have a different eBay account. They jack the Buster Posey SP card up to $25 so that they, when they put their 25 of them that they're going to get from their 50 cases, that, hey, the first one sold for $25. So I'm getting a good deal buying this one for $8 on a buy it now or whatever. I think that happens a lot, too, that there really is some manipulation kind of behind the scenes, and I've heard of this stuff going on too with tickets, more kind of in the ticket, sports ticket, concert ticket market on StubHub and stuff and eBay. So it could be just either some crazy person who, yeah, and the Giants fans are crazy. We all shouldn't be surprised for Buster Posey cards and Hunter Pence, and I mean these guys are gods around Northern California and stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised actually if somebody just saw a brand new Buster Posey card or knew the Heritage was coming out and just had to put the $25 bid on the base card. So
definitely. Well, if you guys could just keep talking about Heritage, I'm going to step away for just a second. Give you some more thoughts on some of the insert sets and you know, maybe early autos that have shown up. I mean, I've seen a few on eBay, but if you want to talk about that, I'll be back in just a couple minutes here.
Yeah, are you guys opening it, Dan? Are you opening it?
No, we haven't opened it yet. I may pick up a personal box for myself because I always like that stuff. I like flipping through the kind of, it's like the new school and old school like together, because you got the chrome cards, but it has the old school look to it. You got a lot of different little subsets. With those, you're not really looking for the hits as much as you're just, you know, kind of looking for the ESPs and the numbered cards and the subsets and stuff like that. It's just a cool little design to look at and collect. A lot of players, like a big base set, so that's kind of cool. I know the retail has been out for a little while. I know that people have been talking about retail for probably like about a week and a half now, so... I haven't seen too much stuff on eBay yet, but
how much more time does it take you to sort through a box, like a case? I guess it's what, a 12-box case of Heritage, than something like this Tough Supreme football that just came out? I mean, what are we talking about time wise?
Well, we sort as we go, but you know, let's say Doug's opening the first three boxes. Before, we used to sort after the fact, and you're looking at about 3 hours of sorting. Wow. Now we basically sort as we break. So while one person's breaking, one person's sorting. But you're looking at like an extra hour and a half, maybe 2 hours in shipping. Also, like we ship a lot of the stuff in 100 count boxes if they have a ton of base.
Right.
So, yeah, but if you don't basically sort while you're breaking, man, you're looking at like an extra 3 hours of sitting down sorting 1,500, 2,000 cards. Series one jumbo is definitely the worst. You're looking at thousands and thousands of cards. You're, after doing one case of that, you're pretty tired of looking at that base set, gotta say.
Yeah, it's for sure. It's if you do it, you know, anybody that does breaks out there, sorting as you go is the way to go. It's not the most fun in the world. It's not funner, you know, lack of
not
a better
the
word there.
It's not the most funner thing to do.
But, you know, you got to do it. And, you know, people collect these base sets. And then, especially at the beginning, we don't know what SPs are. So, you know, we always ship all the base to make sure that everybody gets their cards. So, but it's contest time. We're going to use Heritage as the winner. It's going to be for an NBA break. I know it's kind of cross-promoting here, but we really don't have a baseball break for tomorrow. So the first person to call in and name card number 295 in the base set. Give us the name of card 295 in the 2013 Heritage base set. We'll win a random spot in our NBA break tomorrow. It's 11-12 gold standard and 12-13 elite NBA. It's a five-boxer. So you can go on sportscardradio.com. They got the checklist up. And, yeah, we're looking for card 295. So you guys can call in at 347-855-8815. Once again, 347-855-8815. And whoever calls in will win that free spot for tomorrow's break, mojobreak.com. So call in to win.
Card number what?
You can't win it, man. It's you're banned from winning. Card number 295.
Man, I never win anything.
Well, that's just the way that it goes, man. You don't win any free, when you go to McDonald's, you never win free fries or anything?
I'm gonna hang up right now and I'm gonna call back and be like, "It's Frank."
Hey, we already got somebody that called in. Let me bring him on.
It's me.
205. What's up, 205?
What's going on, man?
Not much. Who are we speaking with?
This is Nick.
What's up, Nick? How you doing,
man? Pretty
last
good.
One left.
Pretty good.
Last one left.
That's right.
All right, man. So what's the part 295?
Mitch Moreland.
That's it, Mitch Moreland. Winner, winner.
Yeah.
We have sound effect for that.
Yeah, y'all made this break, and I love y'all break.
Just got
back in the hobby. Y'all make it better. So.
You've been getting some
cool,
good polls lately too, man. You've been getting some great polls, so we're glad that you enjoy it, and with with people like you, that's one of the reasons why we do the breaks. We look forward to opening packs for people and stuff, so we appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man.
No problem, man. Well, we'll put you in for the random tomorrow, and just check the schedule on. I think it's the last one of the day, so we'll get you a free spot in that.
All right, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Cool, man.
All right. Well, another winner. Sports Card Live.
Winner, winner, winner.
Yep. So we're going to go ahead and bring on Dan from sportscardmagazine.net. We're going to talk a little bit about his site and, about his collecting and different cards and stuff like that. So we're going to go ahead and bring Dan on right now.
And I think we're gonna lose a Dan, and we're going to bring in a Dan.
All right. What's up, Dan? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing? Can y'all hear me well?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, I'm using some new headphones on my phone just because my lady and the baby are in the other room, just so they wouldn't can go play in the other room and not have to hear me ramble on.
No worries, man. Well, we got a double Dan situation right now, but I think we're going to lose one Dan. So,
yeah,
okay.
I can
be Dano for the next 5 minutes.
There you go. All right, guys. I appreciate it, and I'm out.
All right, later. Dan. We'll talk to you later.
All right, later.
Awesome, man. Well, so you got sportscardmagazine.net. Tell us a little bit about starting that blog, and when you started it, and what kind of goals you have for the site.
Well, everything started, a common theme from everyone that we've talked to, collected when we were younger. Had a little card shop out of the garage, had a card shop at the flea market in Houston, Texas. And, you kind of grow up and you start exploring some different things in life. And then, certain things happen. And for me, it was having my daughter. And, it wasn't about going out every night anymore. It was about being home and wanted something to take what little spare time I had. So, like a lot of people, you get back into the hobby. And, I originally started getting back into it, trying to, try to sell cards. I had some stuff, and I was like, let me see what this is worth. And I sold my first card on eBay, and like a lot of other people, you get that rush. You get excited. You're like, hey, man, I can do this. So it starts to kind of open up a little bit, and it was fun. I definitely liked selling. I still sell on my spare time, extra stuff that I have, and I enjoy it. But one of the things I noticed when looking around online, there weren't a lot of outlets available that kind of explore the hobby in different ways. I've been fortunate to, feature a lot of early checklists and stuff from Sports Car Radio, and that was an essential website that I went to go look for stuff to see what was coming out. And, I still check in on Beckett and Sports Collectors Daily. That's another great website that puts out some great information. But, I felt that I had something, in my own, in my mind, something unique to say, and kind of wanted to explore different avenues about the hobby and kind of find other things that maybe people didn't think about. And, want to put it out there. And it started, I've actually gone through a couple names, and, there was something fairly similar in the 90s that was an actual, magazine that came out that talked about the hobby, but, it's not around anymore. And, try to reinvent the whole idea that there are different aspects in the hobby that people can read about and find out information and find out other people that are doing things that are, associated with memorabilia and cars and all that definitely under one kind of umbrella.
Definitely. It looks like you've redesigned your site. I'm looking at it now. It looks pretty killer here, and got
a
lot of nice articles.
I've
and
gone through a couple tweaks. You know, it's a learning process, and I definitely don't, you know, this is something I do for fun. It's not something that I'm doing for, you know, I have a full-time job that's not this website. So I have a little bit of wiggle room to kind of do what I want, you know, and I've been really lucky to kind of partner up with, you know, all of y'all and some other great people in the hobby to kind of help with different things and, you know, for content and stuff like that. You know, it's really not easy to do something like this by yourself. You know, it's definitely helpful when you have people that are willing to kind of lend a hand or give advice or, you know, there's a lot of people in the hobby and there's some people doing things their way and it's, you know, in my opinion, not the right way to do things. And, you know, I feel like I've always been honest and upfront with everybody and try to be positive and be happy about all of this.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's a great looking site. You got some, looks like you're updating it pretty regularly with content. And are you going to expand the site? Or are you just going to kind of, I know you have a full-time job. What are your kind of long-term plans with the site? Is there going to be any changes coming up or just more articles?
The first thing was realizing that you have to update it and you have to keep content coming, you know. And that was something that I thought I could just, you know, do it a couple times and, you know, people will go to your site. But, you know, that was the big learning process, is realizing that you do have to, you know, pump stuff out on a regular basis in order to keep people interested. And the biggest thing is just, you know, upgrading to a different site, moving out of kind of like a free blog and moving to an actual pay website on a different server, and that's the closest next step for me, you know, to handle a little bit more volume of traffic, you know, of this version of it has only been around since September, and since then, you know, interest has kind of gained each month on top of the previous one. So, you know, I'm definitely grateful for everyone. You know, I'm actually surprised that anybody wants to read anything I put out there, but, you know, that's always, you know, that's the positive aspect of it. You know, people, you know, I get good feedback and, you know, it's a growing, you know, it's a living thing. You know, the hobby is always evolving and changing. So it's important to kind of stay up with it.
Well, it's kind of we always say it's kind of like an ADD industry because there's just new releases, you know, every week. So definitely plenty of things to write about. And it looks like we talked about this early on in this show about, you know, passion. And if your passion shows through, which I could see on your site, I mean, it's probably not like work. It's having fun, you know, writing these articles out and, you know, putting pictures of cards and seeing what the new sets are and, you know, which is definitely
exactly
cool.
And that was the thing. Like, I found that I had more passion writing about it and sharing ideas and stuff with other people than I did with selling. You know, I'm a retail manager, so I sell stuff all day and I deal with, you know, I talk to people all day. So for me, the selling part of it, you know, it's a little bit of a challenge because you want to have like the perfect feedback and you want to, you know, and so you find yourself going out of your way a little bit more than normal. Because you have that reflection on, you know, the little score telling you if you're doing well or not. So that, you know, that takes a lot out of you. And for me to write about stuff and have other people that enjoy writing about it too, you know, contribute. You know, I've Chuck from Collecting Techs and Sergio from Busting Packs. You know, they're the most recent people that have written stuff on this website. And, you know, I reached out to them because I can tell that they enjoy writing about the hobby, and, you know, but it's like you said, sharing that passion for it and wanting to kind of share that with everybody else.
Definitely. Now, Ryan, you know, has a website as well. Did you have any questions for Dan, Ryan, as far as, you know, maybe sharing similar interests and things?
Yeah, I think what you've got going on is great. I mean, what you have going on is great. Talk to me, because you also have some other Twitter account, like the Show Your Hits and stuff. Can you talk a little bit about that? And then you mentioned a little bit about some of your friends. I know there's a big group of kind of Texas collectors on Twitter and Astros fans and stuff like that. Can you talk a little bit about that too, kind of the community of Texas collectors?
The first point, Show Your Hits, that started a few years ago. It was a originally Show Me Your Hits. It was a joke that I had with my girlfriend. I was telling her before I got on Twitter, I was on YouTube. I did a lot of break videos on there, and I was kind of she was asking me, "What are you watching?" And I was like, "I don't know. I watch these people open packs, and I want to see their hits. You know, I want to see the stuff that they pull." I was like, "Hits are these cards that they get, and you know, those are the inserts." And then the joke came out. I was like, "Ha ha! Show me your hits." And so that's where it came from. And I was pretty bashful about putting that out there because it has that innuendo, but it's grown into something that's, I never expected it to be, and people are into it, and, it's one aspect of the hobby, love it or leave it, but it's something that people have reacted to, and so I've been really fortunate to have people that are wanting to share, people like that aspect. As far as the Texas collectors, I don't know what it is either. I can't really explain it. The Texans are definitely take a lot of pride in their collecting habits and the state that we live in. I've been fortunate to meet a handful of them, at the big TriStar show in Houston, and getting to talk to them. And, just one of those weird organic things that everyone's like, "Hey, I'm from Texas. So I'm a collector." I don't really see that from anyone else. And, as far as like grouping up like that, I think it's great. It's all about I'm all about making more than just a connection. I want to make a bigger community of collectors. So, for me, it's fun to see all that taking place.
Nice.
Yeah, I think it's great because I kind of watch the interaction. I see you guys at the big TriStar show, like you said. I think it's fantastic. What are your plans this year? Are you heading out to the National maybe in Chicago? Do you have any plans like that?
Well, the big show for me locally is the January show in Houston, the one that just happened. So I was able to talk to a lot of people, and as far as representing the website, for me, I have to remember that it is, in the grand scheme of things, still relatively early. September wasn't that long ago. And so meeting people and trying to spread the word and just trying to talk to other people about what they, what they're looking for out of the hobby, and just meet people and talk to them. So that was the big thing for me. As far as the national goes, I don't know. It's far. It's far away, and it's a lot. I go to the Astros. I watch them. The game that I have to go to every year is my birthday game, and usually they're in Houston. I'm from Houston, but I live a little bit south of Boston now, in a little city south of Boston. But this year, since they're in a different league, they're actually in the Northeast this year. So it looks like I'm going to go to Boston for the first time to go to Fenway to watch them for my birthday game. So
nice.
I'm kind of putting away for that. So, I don't know. We'll see if, we'll see tomorrow when we open up some Heritage if I'm going to the National. I mean, it all depends, man. It really all depends. If it's really just a financial thing. It's not like, of course I would love to go, but. We'll see.
Nice. Well, looking at your site and stuff here, it looks like you got that's an Astros background there on the site. A little Minute Maid
Park
there.
It's a pixelated Minute Maid Park. Just a little hint. I wanted the logo. Grateful to have Caleb, one of the people I follow on Twitter from CalebSemiBold.com. He helped me with the logo, and I wanted to have that Astros influence. Anyone that follows me know I'm unapologetic about who I root for, and I wanted to make sure that influence was there somewhere. So yeah, there's a little, I guess, a peekaboo, if you will, of Minute Maid Park in the background. Just, you know, to kind of lay that out there. Yep.
It looks like they were playing the Giants that game, because I see a little hometown Giants logo on there as well. So, or maybe they were just advertising for them or something. Are we going to be playing you guys this year now that you switched over? Are we going to have some interleague games?
Yeah, there's definitely going to be some interleague games. Well, with everything this year, I know that all of the interleague play is a little bit longer and it's spread out. It's not so concentrated. So I don't know the schedule. I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, that's – it's going to be interesting to see interleague this year, seeing as we've just left. But, you know, for what it's worth, I'm really excited to see a bunch of new teams. You know, I had my week-long rant about them switching over, but, you know, as a fan, there's nothing you can do about it now. So you just have to root for your team and move on.
Well, we'll have to have a friendly bet when we play. I got a Carlos Correa jersey piece that I can throw up, you know, from Elite. You know, I can throw it up there as a bet, and we'll, you know, I don't know if you got some Gary Brown or Will Clark or something. You can have a little friendly, like, rivalry on one of the series we play or something. We can get some tweets going back and forth for that. So that should be that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Dan, so, I want to ask you about the Topps Heritage. You're going to open some tomorrow. They were supposed to have, I know you know this, they were supposed to have Astros Colt 45 variation cards at the base, and then that was kind of nixed at the last minute. Can you talk a little bit about that, and as a kind of a somebody involved in the hobby and then also an Astros fan, how that kind of affected you, and what did you think about that?
Well, last year, you know, there was a few instances where looking at the checklist, I realized that Topps didn't include Astros at all. And I think 2012 Chrome was the biggest one where, you know, you're looking through it, I'm looking through the checklist, and I'm like, wow, there's not a single player. And, you know, there's always a fun banter with Topps on that subject, you know, going back to, you know, who I root for. And so, you know, I get it. I understand that in order to sell a product, you have to put stuff in there. But I feel, you know, if you're going to put out something that's representative of Major League Baseball, at least, you know, all 30 teams should be represented in some aspect. But, you know, I wrote a piece on the Colt 45's issue. You know, Major League Baseball and Topps snubbed the Astros again. But, you know, I get it. I understand the, you know, and we had this issue last year at the ballpark where they didn't want them to use the throwback Colt 45's jerseys and ultimately left it up to the Astros, the team itself. And, you know, of course the fans were, you know, vocal about the whole situation, and they decided at the end to let them go ahead and use it. And, you know, nobody threw a fit. And, you know, but Major League Baseball as its own entity and their, you know, their say or their control over the Topps brand, since they're the official, you know, Major League Baseball product. And it's annoying. It is what it is. There are still going to be the thing is there's still the Colt 45 autographs, the real one autographs in the set. So, you know, it's one of those things like, well, you can do this, but you can't do that. And,
right.
You know, with the gun situation, whether it was solely based on that or not, you kind of have to just, you know, respect the decision and understand that they're trying to, you know, appease to a mass audience, and that's fine. You know, I don't get
it. It's also a cheap beer too, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah. I don't know if you can still find any. I'm sure it's all pretty stale by now. But
yeah, I know it was like the Miller High Life of beers of sorts. It was kind of
I think that's what. With Pabst Blue Ribbon is nowadays. I think if you're looking for that, just try a Pabst.
Well, at least Pabst won a Blue Ribbon. At least it's an award winner, though. You know, I don't know if I can say the same about So, you had Show Us Your Hits, or Show Your Hits, and that's been, you said, how long ago? I was thinking something in my head. It came out the wrong way. But the Show Your Hits, you started, it's been about, what, 2-3 years, you said now?
Yeah, it's been about 3 years now. It started off on YouTube. I I had another blog that was called I Love You More Than Baseball. It was just kind of, you know, my personal writings and just how I felt about the Astros and, you know, but always, you know, just for whatever, just writing about anything I could think of at the time. And, you know, I did the first one, I think it was 2011 or 2010, Bowman Platinum was the first one I wrote. And, yeah, so it's been going on for a while, but, you know, more people are kind of finding about it. And I had a little small in the commentary section in Beckett Sports Card Monthly last month, since that was their hit section. I had a little comment in there that featured the hashtag, so that was kind of neat.
Oh, that's awesome. Was that in the all sports version, or was that the baseball?
Yeah,
or?
The one with Colin
Kaepernick on the cover?
Kaepernick on the cover.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I think I have that one, actually. I'll have to check that out. Yeah, because we've been using, Mojobreak's been using it for a while, as much as we try to remember to include it in the tweet, and it's been a great thing. You could just search the hashtag and, you know, find people's hits and stuff like that, so it's been really a great contribution to the hobby to have that out there.
I mean, it was great because, you know, believe it or not, and this still baffles me, but not everybody goes on eBay. So sometimes sometimes, you know, not everybody's on the internet. Not everyone that collects wants to, you know, go on Twitter and show off their, you know, all of the stuff that they pull. So, you know, it was a good format. I, you know, was kind of hesitant to even get on Twitter before I did, and didn't know, because at the time I was, you know, focused on trying to create like an online store environment, and, you know, realized pretty quickly that the feedback that you get, kind of, you know, what a comedian says when you're on stage, that feedback you get from the audience, you learn a lot quicker than just kind of, you know, practicing in your bedroom or something. You know what people are into, and you get a lot more communication and conversation started, as opposed to, like, you know, what Facebook is for now, you know, and everything
right.
evolves, and people are different, and people like to communicate in different ways, and I like that you can start a conversation with people and have more of, you know, like a chat room feel to it for any of us that were on AOL, you know, those back pages. Eric, he has mentioned that before, like the modern version of the AOL chat room. I like to talk the hobby and, you know, with people that are going to be respectful about it, you know.
Yep.
I like to share everything like that.
Yeah, and thanks for creating that hashtag, once again, originating that hashtag, because it's definitely been a huge thing for the hobby and everything. And, you know, your site looks awesome. You know, I'm going to have to read some of these articles and, you know, help me out on some of my purchases. And it looks like you got our boy Leighton on there too, which is great. Leighton's doing a great thing for this hobby as well. So that's cool. You guys, Leighton on there, and man, yeah, it's a cool little site. You got some Cain Velasquez news, who was born on the same exact day as me. So I got
nice.
On him. It's one of my boys.
Yeah, he's
so.
going to be down the street here next Saturday on the 9th.
Oh, cool.
There's one of the big MMA online sites, MMA Overload, is actually based about 35 minutes south of where I'm at. So he'll be doing a signing down there. So that was pretty neat that they're getting a name like that here in town.
Definitely.
Cool.
And got anything else you'd like to promote? I'll tell you, everybody, to go to, we'll tweet it out as well for everybody, but sportscardmagazine.net, and then it's at Dano Laurel, correct? And then you have a separate Twitter account for the site?
Correct. Yeah, it's just Dano Laurel, and then at Show Your Hits and at Sports Card Mag. And, you know, thanks a lot, everyone. I've, you know, definitely felt the love and the support from everybody. You know, I feel like for a lot of this, we're all in this together, and we're all just trying to promote and make the hobby better. And I'm definitely appreciative of all of that.
Well, and definitely, and if you ever need any help on tweeting out or anything, or, you know, I know a lot about WordPress. If you ever, you want to bounce any ideas, we're definitely here. We're, you know, as this thing grows, everybody grows. So, I mean,
exactly,
there's a big enough there's a big enough pie out there for everybody, and there's enough things to keep everybody informed. And if we work together, it only makes it bigger and better. So,
agreed.
So definitely, but we'll have to have you come on again. And now that we introduced you, maybe we can have you on a segment doing reviews and stuff like that. So we'll have to have you back on the show again.
Yeah, man, I'm down.
So sounds good, man. Well, I appreciate your time. And once again, guys, check out sportscardmagazine.net. There's some really cool articles on here. And there's hits from Layton, and there's the Cain Velasquez, and, you know, previews of Panini Brilliance. So really cool.
I appreciate it.
Thanks again, Dan, man, and have a good night.
Yeah, buddy.
Take care.
Sweet.
Two people in one night. Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, he looks like he's very, you know, goes back to that word of passion. He's very passionate about his site, and I mean, you can see it. So
passionate, knowledgeable, a good guy, just a real, real, real good guy there. So I definitely would advise everybody to go check out his website, check out his Twitter. If you like putting, you know, if you like the Twitters, then you could, you know, show your hits. Your big hits and your pulls and stuff. So really good stuff. Sportscardmagazine.net, right? Sportscardmagazine.net.
Yep.
Yeah. We got to check that out. And it's good stuff. Really cool stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think that pretty much, you know, rounds out the show. I think next week we can go in a little bit more in depth about what's happening at the summit next, you know, the week after that. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about the events. Because I think
let's do that. Yeah,
yeah,
we'll talk about the schedule. What actually happens there? I think people hear about this and stuff, and most people don't ever go. So I think we should actually be like, okay, this is what actually happens. Like, this is what happens, A to Z, boom, boom, boom. What actually goes on and takes place and who talks? I think sometimes you hear all this stuff where it's like, I'll just pull up the schedule and be like, hey, here's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, here's what they're going to say, basically. You know, you can kind of know what these guys are going to say half the time. Not going to be a whole lot of surprises, but there might be some surprises mixed in there, too. So, let's do the summit next week. Let's talk about that because I think it's timely because we'll be – shit, the next day I'm going to Arizona, so – and then to Palm to Vegas after that, so.
Wow, man, living the dream.
I'm trying.
Well, yeah, and we'll, you know, they'll probably have some guests announced by next week, hopefully, so we could let you know who's going to be there. And I know we're going to be doing mojobreak.com for people that buy into our summit breaks. We're going to have some black box promotions where we're going to be giving away free black boxes to people that buy into our breaks that are going to be at the summit.
Wow.
We're working on more promotions with Panini and Topps and Leaf and things like that. So we're going to have a schedule of about anywhere from 15 to 20 breaks over the course of those 3 days. And you got to sit in on a few, man.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. I'll definitely do that.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll have our Wild Bill nights, and, of course, we'll tweet out some info on that and all the other.
We'll do a show. I guess we'll do a show at some – it probably won't be the regularly scheduled time and place, but we'll have to – maybe by next week we'll know when we'll do the Vegas show.
That's exactly it. Yeah, I think we're going to either do Sunday or Monday for Sports Card Live that week, and that's the week of the 16th. Actually, I think it's the week of the 17th, but Sunday is the 16th, which is St. Patty's Day. So maybe we'll do a St. Patty's Day special. We'll have green beer in hand or something.
Wow, we'll be all faded, probably.
It might be like the best show ever. We're just
five
shots deep. We'll do a once a year sloppy sessions, we'll call it. Well, awesome. Well, thanks again, Ryan. You had some great questions for Dan. And, you know, we'd like to thank Dan from sportscardmagazine.net. And we also like to thank Ben from topprospectalert.com. If you're just listening now and you missed it, download the archives. I mean, there's some wealth of knowledge on prospects, on who to buy and, you know, early spring training predictions. So make sure you check out topprospectalert.com. It's a pretty cool little site with rankings. And as always, check out sportscardradio.com. If you're looking to find out SPs on Heritage, check out sportscardradio.com. We have a full checklist with SPs and everything, pictures. So be sure to check that out. And for as far as breaks are concerned, mojobreak.com, we got five going down tomorrow. So NT Baseball, a basketball mixer with three boxes of Elite, two boxes of Gold Standard. We got Limited Football Random. We got Topps Turkey Red tomorrow. We got, we're doing a lot. And then Friday we got six more breaks. So we're chock full, and there's a lot of stuff on sale. So, and if you use the code MOJOBREAK on MOJOBREAK.com, it'll save you 10%. So check that out for sure. And I think that's it, man. You got anything else to say to people out there?
That's it. Go to sportscardmagazine.net, topprospectalert.com. Check them out, and that's about it.
Awesome, guys. Thanks for tuning in again. We appreciate it. Follow us at Card Radio Live on Twitter. We probably should get a Facebook eventually, but right now it's at Card Radio Live. And that's gonna. I'm going to start the outro, and that's it for today's show. Thanks again, guys.
Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by SportsCardRadio.com, MojoBreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.